Opening your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Good evening. It's great to see everybody tonight. In Psalm 122, verse 1, it says, David said, "I rejoice with those who said to me." Yeah, you go to 100. And I'm reading 122, okay? Just follow my instructions. You go to Psalm 100 and wait for me there. In Psalm 122, verse 1, David said, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" He was excited when the thought of going to worship God was brought up. And I want us to ask ourselves tonight, do you get fired up about going to worship your God, either on a Thursday night, in our case, or on a Sunday morning? Because I think if we're not careful as Christians, coming to church becomes routine. It becomes something we do. It becomes something that's a part of our schedule instead of who we are. In Psalm 100, in verse 1, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." He says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." I've titled tonight's lesson, "Worship the Lord with Gladness." You know, our theme this year, like we all know, is wholehearted devotion. The idea is, whatever it is we're doing, we're going to put all our heart into it. And so I want to address our hearts as far as our attitude towards worship. Amen. And towards being in the assembly. Because I think, if you would agree with me, there's a lot of room for improvement. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? We are commanded to worship the Lord with gladness. Where you and I, when we come to church, whether it's, you know, on a Thursday night, and more so on a Sunday morning, where you are glad to be there. That you don't walk in like, "Bro, how you doing?" "I'm just there." You should have left that attitude in the parking lot. We all have things that we go through. Every single one of us. I mean, it rained all day today. It was cloudy. I praise God for raining on the earth. But that's very depressing. The weather will do it to you sometimes. But you can't come into the house of God with that mindset. It says here, we need to worship God with gladness. We got to come in with a certain attitude and a certain mindset. You know, the thing I love about meeting on Thursday nights, in our case, and meeting on Sunday mornings all together, is because we get to do something that you cannot do by yourself in your own house. I mean, first of all, you can't have this many people in your own house. Okay? You don't have the money to feed them. And I'm not just talking about somebody having a little bite of something. Okay? When I come, I want to eat. I ain't taking a little bite of anything. So you can't do this in your house individually. But when we come to church, we get to see each other. We get to encourage one another, and we get to be encouraged. Are you with me? And so I have several questions I want to ask us as we begin tonight. Do you enjoy coming to church services? Really? Do you really enjoy coming to church services? Is this something you look forward to? Or is it one of those, oh man, it's Thursday night, I gotta go to church? And you know when you have that attitude, because God sees it. Is this something you check off, thinking somehow, you know, you're getting points with the Almighty? Do we come with an attitude of giving and also to be given to? You and I gather on Thursday night and on Sunday mornings to worship the creator of the universe. You see, the challenge is because we do it twice a week, we got to make sure that it doesn't become routine, that it doesn't become boring. How do we stay engaged? Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, again, you should know this by heart by now. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 24. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more, as you see the day approaching. He's talking about the day of judgment. Amen? It says here that we need to consider how to spur one another on. You know what a spur is? Okay? A spur is that little thing at the end of a cowboy boot that when guys get on a horse, and I've never been on a horse, and I'm not about to get on one now. The spur is what you use to get the horse moving. You know, you poke it, and the horse will start moving. And the Bible says, and uses that word, says we need to consider how we can spur one another on. In other words, we need to be coming in here and be poking each other. Come on, brother, get moving. Sister, boom, it's time to move. That's the word of you. I'm not making this stuff up. But again, do we come in here with that mindset? Now, you know what? I am going to spur somebody on tonight. You see, when you miss service, and I know there are different reasons, in my opinion, there are different legitimate reasons for someone not to be at church. Okay? Sickness is one of them. If you're sick in bed, we'll pray for you, brother or sister. We would come and bring something over, you know, whatever, but please don't come to church. You need to stay in bed and get better, and better yet, don't come to church and give whatever it is you've got to two or three other people. Okay, we don't need that kind of sharing. Okay? That's a legitimate reason to stay at home. And the cool thing about when you're at home is, you know, we recall all these lessons so that you don't miss anything. In other words, we bring church to you. Amen? Amen? That's the reason why these guys do a great job of it every week. And it's a lot of work. Yep. It really is. But take advantage of it. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so, you've had a hard day at the job. Your boss gave you a hard time and whatever. Or maybe we yelled at you. And now you're feeling down and discouraged. That is not a good reason to miss church. You heard me. That is not a reason to miss coming to worship the Almighty. Amen? Amen? We all go through different things. But you see, all I'm saying tonight is I want to start talking about is we come in here with a certain mindset. Somebody asked me the other day, said, you know, where is this, you know, idea of, you know, we have to have church service every week? Where does it come from? Let's begin in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 7. It says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread, talking about the communion. Okay? If you look at the book of Acts, they met on the first day of the week. On the Lord's Day. That was the day Jesus rose on the day. It was on Sunday. Are you with me? Remember, they used to meet on the Sabbath. And Sabbath was sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday. All right? But when Jesus rose from the dead, they started meeting on the first day of the week. Are you with me? That's where the change comes in. But he says right here that on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. And you know what happens after that? You know the story. There's this young man sitting up in a window. He's listening, and he falls asleep. And he basically falls backwards, and he falls down, and he dies. Paul goes over, raises him up. I love it. They attend to the young man, and he goes, and he continues preaching. That's what I call a church service.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine telling somebody who missed church that day? Say, what happened today? Oh, man, Paul was in town. He was preaching up a storm. You know, Eutychus is always sleeping. He was up in the window, and next thing we just said, poof. The boy died. Paul went out there, raised him up, and Paul just kept on preaching. No, yeah, it happened. Newsflash. The Bible doesn't tell us what time to start service and how long it's meant to be. It's not in the scriptures anywhere. You say, well, Richard, where did we come up with this idea of Sunday mornings we meet from 10 to 12? We came up with it. You say, well, how come we can't have service on Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m.? I don't want to have service on Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. That's why we're not doing it. Okay? If I'm doing the preaching, I ain't coming at 7 p.m. to come preach. Okay? I'm just being honest with you. I love preaching in the morning. I love preaching on Thursday night. Amen? It's something we came up with, is the point. Now, in the first century, believe it or not, when you went to church, you had no idea how long it was going to be. They had no wristwatches. You think Peter was standing up there preaching and he had a wristwatch on the podium? Really? They had no watches. They just came. They were truly led by the Spirit of God. And somebody, you know, will be, you know, the preacher would get up, they'll have a revelation, they will reveal it. Another person, again, they had the gift of tongues. And Paul told them in Corinthians, in terms of how to regulate that thing, they would start speaking and somebody else would interpret. You had no idea how long the service was going to be. I say all that to say, you know what, here we are in the 21st century, we are spoiled. Because we start looking at our watches. Man, he's gone 5 minutes over. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go half an hour over. What you going to do? Seriously. What are you going to do? I know you're not going to come tell me, oh, Richard, you went over by half an hour. I know you're not going to do it. Because you know what I'm going to say. I am going to say, brother, sister, we need to talk. Are you with me? But again, we have a limit. Yeah, we go from 10 to 12. And we try and stick with it. Does that make sense? But worship is not such that we start looking at our clocks. I got to get out of here. You know, they need to finish this stuff so I can go watch my ball game. You got some serious problems. Let me just tell you that right now. You got some serious issues. Worship, it needs to be about just worship. Amen? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. When you finish church, I mean, when we're done and we have had fellowship, you want to go, you know, watch basketball or football or whatever it is you do on Sunday afternoon. That's entirely up to you. But while you're there, give everything you've got to the Almighty. That's the point I'm making. Going to services is not something you do. It is who you are. And it shows in your disposition. Amen? Today, you and I have so many benefits that they didn't have back in the first century. Number one, we have cars to drive to church. I mean, think about that for a second. Back in the first century, they walked. If you were wealthy enough and you had a donkey, then your wife would sit on it. But that's it. That was really your ride. But most people walked. Today, we can jump in our car and we go to church. That's amazing to me. Here we are, we're sitting in a nice, warm building with cushions in the seats. Back in the first century, they met in each other's homes. It was crowded. Most of them were outside, listening to the lesson. They didn't have this. Electricity? Forget it. I mean, here we are. We have sound. We have audiovisual. That's amazing. I mean, in the back, you can hear my voice a lot clearer because of this little mic that's on my jacket. Back in the first century, they didn't have that. We're all sitting here right now, listening. There are teachers in the back teaching our kids. They didn't have that back in the first century. They didn't. Very, very important. Here we are again. We got whole Bibles. Hold up your Bible. Some of you are holding up stuff that's lighting up. I'm old school. I'm going to die carrying this thing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong in having an iPad or a monopod or whatever it is they call all those things. God bless you. Good luck to you. I got to flip the pages. I got to underline stuff. I got to mark it. You can't do that to a tablet. You cannot scribble on a tablet. Don't even try. We got the whole Bible. Back in the first century, they had nothing. Absolutely nothing. If you didn't go to hear the word of God preach, you missed it. You couldn't go home and say, oh yeah, he asked me to turn to Matthew. Matthew didn't exist at the time. Oh yeah, he asked us to turn to Colossians. They didn't have it. And, you know, in addition to that, we not only have Bibles, we have notepads. We have pens. We can actually write. Back in the first century, they didn't have any of this stuff. And so I bring all this stuff up as we begin to say, you know what, we have so many advantages that they didn't have. And so if anything, when it comes to our worship and our engagement, ours needs to be greater. Because a lot of this stuff, they didn't have it. I mean, I want you to imagine some of the conversations when we get to the other side. You know, how are you going to explain or begin to describe what a TV looks like to the Apostle Paul?
You know, it's like a box. As a matter of fact, it got to a point where they were making them so thin and would hang it on the wall. And somebody could be in California and they'd be preaching and you could be watching it live. And you could hear everything clearly. And Paul would be going, Jesus, how come I wasn't converted during that time? Because I would have evangelized the word a whole lot quicker. And I share all this to say, you know what? We have so much that they didn't have. Amen? So what do we do in our church? Number one, we have Bible study that starts at 10 o'clock. That's what we do. Amen? Look in Matthew chapter 13. Bible study. Some of us do not come for Bible study. You are missing church. Let me repeat myself. You are missing church. The elders and I expect you to get there before 10. Not at 10 minutes to 11. Service starts at 10. You know, the parable of the sower is in the Bible for a reason. And it tells us in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 16. It says, but blessed are your eyes. This is Jesus talking. Because they see. And your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And then it goes on, and obviously he's explaining the parable to them and all that stuff. Many people from way back then longed to be a part of this. And they didn't. They couldn't see it, they couldn't hear it. You see, those Bible studies are designed to take us deeper into the Word. That's what they're designed for. Our faith increases. Our knowledge of God increases. And believe it or not, the last several years, we've taught so many things in that Bible class.
Right.
We've done Old Testament survey. We've done New Testament survey. I just started writing this stuff down. We've taught several books, Revelation, Hebrews, Jude, Psalms, Romans, 2 Timothy, Genesis, Philemon, and others. We've talked about how we got the Bible. There was one we did. It was, who is Jesus Christ? We've done apologetics. We've done the Sermon on the Mount. We've done the parables of Jesus. We just finished the life of Jesus. We've studied Proverbs. We've looked at the minor prophets. We've done so many things. And brother and sister, when you are not there, you are missing out. You really are. And you're going to be weak spiritually. It is that simple. Gary, the elders, and a lot of brothers that help teach, they do a phenomenal job with those classes. Believe me, these guys don't have files and folders and lessons just in some draw that they just, oh yeah, this would be nice to teach. Let me bring this out. They spend hours and days studying this stuff out so that they can feed us. Do you know how discouraging it is? You spend all this time working on a lesson and there's only a few people there to hear it. I don't know about you, let me just be, now they haven't said anything to me. I find it very discouraging. It's not right. You're missing out. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, a lot of us are there Sunday morning, and I praise God for that. But you need to look around. There are people that come into church at 10:45 on Sundays. You need to call them up and say, brother, sister, that ends tonight. Say, who asked you to call? Richard asked you to call. That's okay. You can mention my name.
Just say I am.
Just make me the bad guy. Don't bother me.
Just say I am.
Okay? Because there are times when, again, I sit in the back, when I see people, I go talk to them. But what's up? What's going on? See, church is not just, oh, I come in, and here's the amazing thing. Some of these guys think we don't see them. Of course we do. You know, Gary finishes the class, he dismisses us, and we go get the kids, and they time it, and then they come in, as if they're coming in, they came, just got their kids. Oh, no, I did not see you in the class. I sit in the back for a reason. I can see who's coming in and who's not there. And you are not teaching the kids kingdom, I know that. Amen? But that Bible class is very important. It is not optional. It is part of our worship. We need to be there. Amen?
Amen.
This man put in a lot of work. It's amazing to me how when, honestly, it's like eating food physically. The better you eat, the better you look. You know, when you're feeding properly, it shows in your appearance. Same thing with the word. If you're being fed and you're feeding yourself, it shows in your life. It's not rocket science. Amen? And so that class is very, very important. Let me tell you another thing. Many churches envy us. I'm talking of in our brotherhood. I've lost count how many conversations I've had with different evangelists and elders who ask me, so how do you guys do church? And I tell them what we've been doing for the last several years. And they're like, how in the world did you pull that off? And many of them have said, you know what, I need to go back and adopt this. Because as preachers, we all need more time to teach the scriptures. My job as an evangelist is to teach the whole will of God. And if you really think about it, all we get every week is about 2 hours of really Bible instruction. That's about it. In an entire week. On midweek and on Sunday. That's really what we get. 2 hours of Bible instruction. And all I'm saying is, we need to cherish that time. Amen?
Amen.
Would you believe that a lot of people, you know, they listen to our lessons on our website, and they listen to the sermons. They do. Even sometimes, you know, I joke with these brothers who do a great job recording this stuff, making sure that everything is updated very quickly, and they do it. They really try their best. In terms of, you know, we preach that lesson on Sunday. By Sunday night, by Monday night, boom, it's up on the website. Okay. And a lot of people listen to it. People send me emails. I'll go somewhere, oh, yeah, bro, thank you for that lesson. I said, wait a second, you didn't come to my church? So, yeah, you preached this lesson, this thing, and it convicted me, and this happened, and I changed this. And I said, amen, praise God. I was talking to a brother in New York. Today is what? Today is Thursday. I think it was Tuesday night. Oh, yeah, that lesson you preached on this. I just smiled. Oh, thank you so much for this and this. Amen. Very, very important. Amen?
Amen.
When we come, we need to take notes. I know you're smart. But you don't have a photographic memory. There are very few people with photographic memories. Okay? There are very few people on this earth that you can say to them, okay, hey, what was taught 2 weeks ago? And the guy can tell you point for point everything that was brought up. Okay? But you see, scientists tell us if you write it down, you remember it twice as much. And then also during the week, you can go back and look at it again. Okay? Be in the habit of taking notes. I'm going to use Bishop as an example. Steve Collier loves these little yellow pads. Okay? This is his thing. If you go to his house, you will see a ton of them. from all the different lessons that he's that is listened to and is taking notes. And he's a very spiritual man. He knows his Bible, but he's taking notes. Now, are you smarter than Steve? He's got a great memory, but he's still writing it down. Because here's what happens. 6 months from now, something will happen. He said, wait a second. I remember a lesson. And you're going to go find those notes. And you're going to restudy that stuff, and it's going to help you. Or somebody's going to have an issue. And then you're going to say, wait a second. A year ago, this was talked about. Let me go find my notes. I will send you that stuff. And praise God, these days you can text them, you can email them. It's amazing. But you see, if you didn't write it down, you don't know anything. I'm sorry. That's when you start doing one of these. Hey, bro, where are those scriptures again that talk about this and this and this? Why don't you go study your Bible? Amen? Amen. It's very important that you are that class on Sunday mornings. That's part of what we do. Number two, the singing. Do you realize that there are 45 different Greek words about praise and worship in the Bible? So when it's a lot of times when it just says sing, it could mean all kinds of things. I'm gonna give you some of them, okay? Not all of them. One word is ado, it's spelled A-D-O. It means literally to sing. Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19, Revelation 15:3. Ado. Another time, the word is used. Agaliho, A-G-A-L-L-I-A-O. It literally means to jump for joy, to be exceedingly glad, to rejoice greatly. You see that word being used in Luke 10:21, Acts 16:34, and Revelation 19:7. Another Greek word talking about singing is hymnuo, H-U-M-N-E-O, H-U-M-N-E-O. It's to celebrate God in song. Matthew 26:30, Acts 16:25. Then my favorite, proskuneo, P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. It's to kiss like a dog licking its master's hand. Proskuneo, to kiss like a dog licking its master's hand, to reverence, to adore. Matthew 28 verse 9 and John 4, 24. Another Greek word talking about praise and worship. Aineo, A-I-N-E-O, which means to praise. Luke 2 verse 13, Luke 24 verse 53, and Acts chapter 3 verse 8. You see why it's important to write this stuff down? I know you're trying to keep up, but praise God, it's been recorded. You can go listen to it again. Okay? Another Greek word for sing is charo, C-H-A-R-O, which means to be cheerful, happy, or well. We see that in 1 Peter 2:9 and Philippians 3:1. The point is, I don't know how you can do all this stuff without being engaged. You can't do it. You got to be engaged. You've got to prepare your mind. That's why it's important to sing along and to look up the words. You say, well, Richard, I don't know the song. I don't know the tune. It's okay. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You don't have to know the song. How did I learn all this song? I don't know about you. See, when I hear something for the first time, and I hear the first chorus, okay, the second time around, you know, I'm going to join in. That's how you learn to sing a lot of the songs. So yeah, the first time around, you may not know it, but the next time around, you've heard it once. Come on, man. Sing along. Yeah, you're not going to be the perfect soprano or the perfect tenor and all this stuff. That's okay. But you got to engage your mind. That's why it's not right when the singing is going on for people to be talking.
I'm sorry, man. I love you, but I did not come to talk to you during this time. I want to sing to my God. I will talk to you after service. Whatever it is you're going through, it's not going to change between now and then. This is not an emergency. Brother, can I tell you what's going on? Hold it. At 12:15, we can talk. The world is not going to come to an end. Prayerfully. And if Jesus comes back before then amen. But the point I'm making is, when we're singing, we need to be focused. You know, it's not just, we just can't, you know, distract people that are trying to worship God by talking. It's also not right just to stand there. Come on, man, sing to your God. Why did you come? You say, well, I don't know how to sing. Okay, let's start there. Guess what? Start practicing in the house. Amen? Start practicing in the house. Sing. 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 Okay? You cannot sing with your mouth closed. That's a pretty trick. I've not seen anybody pull it off yet. For you to sing, you got to open your mouth. I was telling my kids the other day, I said, do you notice all these quote-unquote big stars that really sing? I said, no, watch them when they're singing. Their mouths are wide open. Some of them have some really big mouths, but it's okay. But you don't see them singing like, God bless America. No. It's like, God bless America. I mean, they are wide open. That is how you sing. Amen? I'm not making this stuff up. Some of you guys, you know, your mouths are barely open. Come on, man. Open that mouth. You got permission. Amen? Sing to your God. Another thing, number three, we do is the communion and the contribution. You know the Lord's Supper. Jesus was the one who told us in 1 Corinthians 11, do this in remembrance of me. We do it every week. Again, if we're not careful, it becomes routine. Where during that time of the service, we remember that Jesus paid a huge price so that you and I can be here. So that you and I one day can get to see God. It's very important that you stay engaged. And then obviously we take up a contribution. Where again, we need to be giving sacrificially. We need to be giving consistently. You know, for some reason, okay, you're out of town this weekend. Next week when you come to church, make sure you add last week's contribution. I'm talking to you as your preacher. I got scriptures on it. He said, well, that was last week. Yeah, but we still got to pay rent. Amen? Don't forget that. So you've been sick for 2 weeks or whatever. You need to make that up. My wife and I will get paid twice a month. Okay? So you know. On the 15th and on the 30th. And so I write my check out to the church twice a month. Because I know some of you are looking at me. The contribution bag went by. Richard didn't put anything in. Oh, come on, man. I know you're thinking it. I give that contribution consistently. I write out the check Saturday, not Sunday morning. Because it's not my money. I can't go spend that money. It's not mine. It never was. We got to give God first fruits. Amen? Amen? It's very important. And obviously, finally, the message.
You know, in 2 Timothy 4, the Bible commands me to preach the word in season and out of season. We do that also on Sunday. I may have said this before, but if I haven't, let me say it now. I know I've said it to a lot of people one-on-one. You know, people often ask me, you know, Richard, where did messages come from? How do you decide what to talk about? And the answer is very simple. Every time, my prayer always is, God, what do you need your children to hear? What do you need your children to hear? And I study it out, I'm praying about it, and I sit down and I write it. And then I get up and I preach it. And that's why a lot of times, if I'm sick or I'm not 100%, I can't do it. Because I don't know how to do things halfway. I just don't. I'm not going to get up here and say, yeah, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Okay, oh yeah, that was nice. Okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 18. I'm sorry. That just ain't me. If I can't give everything I've got, it's not happening. Because it is God's word that I'm preaching. In the Old Testament, when God's word was read, people would stand out of reverence. It's that important. So, again, I say, believe me, my phone is not ringing, and people are saying, oh yeah, could you talk about this? Could you talk about this? Could you deal with this issue? No, nobody's calling me. And nobody has called me. But guess who talks to me? The Holy Spirit. And that's why a lot of times, honestly, I would preach a lesson, and somebody will come afterwards and go, did somebody talk to you that I'm going through that? I'm like, I'm sorry? No. I didn't even know your situation. But the Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is always at work. There are times I will prepare lessons, and John has prepared lessons for the teens, and he would have taught something to what I'm about to say. And we get to church, and I start preaching, and it's just sitting there just smiling. Because then those kids hear it twice. Because there's the Holy Spirit at work. Amen? Amen. Believe me, again, I don't have a folder at home with all these lessons. And I've been doing this for 24 years. So I got lessons. Are there times when I go back and I say, yeah, you know, I talked about this about 6 years ago. Let me go find that thing. And again, I got my own notebooks too. I got a pile of them. But it's important that we listen to the word, that we ask God to open up our hearts so that the word can change us. The word was given for our transformation, not for information. It was given so that you and I can become more and more like Jesus until Christ is formed in us. That's all this is. God is preparing us for what's on the other side. Amen? And so, again, I've said it before in other ways. If you don't enjoy singing, if you don't enjoy the fellowship, if you don't enjoy hearing the word, what do you think you're going to be doing in heaven? This stuff is not rocket science. All this is we're practicing for what's on the other side. Amen? It's a Bible thing. We've not even started talking about the different kinds of singing that we're meant to be having. Because again, some songs do it for some people. Some songs do it for other people. Amen? But it's important that we stay engaged. Now let me give you some practicals. And I'll let you go. Number one, start preparing Saturday afternoon. Start preparing for church Saturday afternoon. Iron and lay out your clothes. You say, Richard, why are you talking about this? Brother, why are you late? Oh, man, the shirt I wanted to wear, I just realized that, you know, I had to go wash it very quickly and put it in the dryer. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. That should have been taken care of on Saturday. iron and lay out your clothes, especially if you have kids. Okay? Part of that, write out your contribution check. Write it out on Saturday. Okay? Number two, go to bed early. Amen. 11 p.m. on Saturday is not early, brothers and sisters. Okay? Go to bed early. Praise God. You know, these days, there's, what do you call that thing? DVR? Record this stuff. Go to sleep. Amen? Amen. Go to bed early. Number three, get up early Sunday morning. See, if you go to bed early, you can get up early. You're not going to get up tired. The alarm is not going to go. You're going to go, oh, I can, oh, man, it's morning already. Let me sleep for 15 more minutes. Please don't fall into that temptation. Okay, you're going to be late. Get up early Sunday morning. Read, pray, prepare your mind. Get ready to come worship your God. One of the things I like to do in my house, my kids were reminding me the other day, man, I hadn't done it in a while. Sunday morning, I get up and I go put in some religious music, some hymns, and I just turn the volume up. Man, the volume, I mean, I get into it, baby. I'm not waiting till those brothers and sisters get up on stage. You know, I start in my own house. I get my mind engaged, ready to worship my Creator. I'm not saying you need to do that. I'm just telling you what I do. Same thing when I get into the car. The kids know not to ask me, oh, can we listen? No. The answer is no, so don't even ask me. Because Sunday morning, I am playing something to get my mind ready to worship God. That's what's playing in that car. Or nothing is playing at all. But you see, for those of us who have kids, that's when we're talking to our kids. We're going to church. We're going to worship God. We're going to be singing. Little Sonny, I don't want you running around. Okay, if you run around, there's going to be consequences. I'm telling you now. We're there to worship God. The church is not a playground. But you see, you got to prepare them. Amen? Let me see, where am I? Okay, number four. I know our wives will love this. Brothers, help your spouse with the kids. You see, it's not enough to, okay, I'm ready now, ready to go. But she's got two kids to take care of. You can help out. If anything, at that time of the day, you need to have a division of labor. Where Sunday morning, okay, he does this or she does that. Whether it's feeding them or getting them ready, whatever it is. So that you are not late, which leads me to number five. Leave home early. Notice I didn't say on time. Leave home early. Sometimes there's an accident. Sometimes you may forget something. And that gives you enough time to go back and go get it. That has happened to me several times. Are you with me? But when you leave early, you have the time to go back and go rectify it. Number six, be ready to give of yourself. You know that, you know, the Bible class starts at 10, where we get there early, we're standing our kids, so you come into the auditorium and you're having fellowship with people. Be ready to give of yourself. You see, especially for those of us who have kids, let me tell you something, church. Your kids can tell if you're just going through the motions. They can tell. If you are really in love with this God or you're just playing church, they can see it in you. And then sometimes we wonder, how come these kids don't love God? How come they're not excited about God? Maybe if you take a look at them at the man or the woman in the mirror, you will see a lot of changes. Amen? And then finally, number seven, stick around for the fellowship. Fellowship. Some of us, you know, we finish church and boom, we're out the door. I see us, we're going down the staircase. Like, come on, where are you rushing to, man? Where are you going to? Seriously, come on. Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah, every once in a while there will be a Sunday, you know, you have to rush out of there. I can understand that. But every week, come on, man. I'm going to end this way. Put your hand up if you can put a name and a face to every single member of this church. Raise your hand. My hand is raised. I know every single person in this church by name and by face. Put your hand up if you can do 200. 200. Come, put them up. Look around. That's a lot of people. How about 100? How about 50? Okay? The point is there's room for improvement. Here's what you do. Very simple. Decide every midweek, I am going to talk to somebody new. Every Sunday, I'm going to see somebody and I'm going to talk to somebody new every Sunday. That's two every week. By the end of the year, you would have done 100. It is that simple. Okay? But you can't do it rushing out of church. And I know Thursday night is limited because we got to get out of here. We got to go put the kids to bed and all that. That's why we need to take advantage of Sunday, brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen, church? Amen. We're going to be spending the rest of eternity with each other. Amen? He said, well, Richard, wait, come talk to me on the other side. Let's start talking now. I want to get to know you now. I hope you want to get to know me now too. Amen? But the fellowship is very, very important. When we come on Sunday, look around, especially if you see somebody you don't recognize. Go say hello. It's very intimidating when people visit church, especially for the first time. They've never been there. They don't know anybody. You know, it really concerns me when, in the fellowship, I know I need to keep quiet. But I'm going to imitate Paul tonight. But I promise you, I will let you go in a few minutes. I'm getting ready to close. That's what Baptist preachers say. I'm getting ready to close. 15 minutes later, I still say, I'm getting ready to close. See, when visitors come in, it's very intimidating. You need to look around and say, oh, you know what? Let me go say hello to the... Hey, how you doing, lady? What's your name?
Sue.
Very nice to meet you. My name is Richard. Nice. Welcome. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It makes a big difference. We can't have two Christians over here just talking and they just ignore the person sitting there.
Right.
There's something wrong with that picture. Remember SSI?
Yep.
Smile, say hello, and introduce yourself. Not CSI, SSI. I know some of you love CSI. I'm not going to go there, okay? It's all right. But SSI. Very important. Why? Because you never get a second chance to make a first impression. When people come to church and nobody says hello to them, nobody talks, they're not coming back, I promise you. They are not coming back. Amen? You bring a friend, introduce them to your friends. The fellowship is very important. So yeah, quote unquote, service ends at noon, then the fellowship begins. We do the fellowship inside that sanctuary, inside that auditorium, and out in the... In the foyer, not in the parking lot, not in your car. Okay? Amen?
Amen?
Very important. Worshiping the Lord with gladness. I promise you, if you do these things, number one, you will not be late. You wouldn't be late. I believe we need to be giving God our best every week.
I love coming to church. Believe me, I love going to church before they started paying me. This is not about my job. I love being there. Amen?
Amen.
Very, very important. Worship the Lord with gladness. That's why I pray this Sunday when we come together, we're going to see a totally different disposition in this church.
Amen.
I encourage you to go back and look at these verses. So when Gary starts at 10 o'clock, man, we are there listening, engaged, and ready to learn.
Bishop, could you close out with a word of prayer? Let me give you the mic.
Let's pray. Father, we are so glad to be your children, to be our brothers and sisters in your household. Father, we're so grateful to be able to come to you and to worship you and to sing praises to you, to listen to your word. We're so grateful that you care enough about us to provide all those things for us. Father, I pray that you would help us to become a new kind of people, Father, that will glorify you and that will give you our whole heart, that we will be wholehearted in devotion to you, and that we will it'll be evident in everything we do. Help us to worship you with gladness and to make it evident to everybody around us. We love you, and we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.